So I'm standing in for this presentation for my colleagues, I should say, who couldn't be here. I wasn't directly involved in the research, but I'm aware about it, so hopefully I can answer your questions and do justice to the work that they've done. But this work was a collaboration between the Université Catholique de Louvain and the International Maize and Wheat Improvement Center, which is where I work, looking at tillage detection in South Asia using Sentinel-1 data. The background for the presentation is that conservation agriculture has been a topic that CIMMYT has concentrated on for a number of years. There's a lot of debate about the extent of adoption of conservation agriculture, especially in smallholder farming systems like we have in South Asia. And there's a lot of donors and international development agencies who want accurate, quick measurements of how farmers have adopted new crop management systems like conservation agriculture. And that provided some of the background for SPIA funding from the FAO to look at doing this work. So conservation agriculture, most of you are probably familiar with, but it goes with three principles, if you will. The first being minimal soil disturbance, the second one being soil cover on a permanent basis, either with a living or a dead mulch, and the third being crop rotation and or intercropping. Conservation agriculture in South Asia is particularly important lately because of residue burning. This image is from India and Pakistan, and if you see all of the small red dots, those are fires that are occurring in the region just a few weeks ago. And I live downstream in Bangladesh, actually, and we get the smog that comes from this whole area every winter. It becomes hard to breathe. It also becomes a bit hard to see what you're looking at when it comes to satellite imagery. And in New Delhi, in particular in India, this kind of burning has caused a lot of new policy and emphasis on using zero tillage and other methods to try to reduce how much residue is burnt, because it's a public nuisance in terms of air quality as well. So there's various different forms of land preparation. Your left-hand side is zero tillage under conservation agriculture with a lot of residues maintained. The other one is conventional tillage with a seed drill with no residues maintained. In practice, on a lot of these smallholder farming systems, though, you get some kind of a mix in between where farmers don't really follow the three rules or principles, but they adapt and do different things. So you can see how zero tillage is implemented with partial residue retention and partial straw burning. Sometimes it's implemented with no residue retention at all. And you see the use of these different kinds of seeders that are used. Conventional tillage, conversely, can be a single pass with a seed drill and rotavator directly drilled, or very often a single pass followed by broadcast seeding, and this is wheat, and then a tillage pass to incorporate and encourage germination. So there's a lot of different systems at play here. The challenge, as I mentioned, is that straw burning affects air quality. It also makes it difficult to see what you're looking at when it comes to remote sensing. But previous work by some of our colleagues had shown that you could use radar imagery and look at differences between vertical-vertical and vertical-horizontal backscattering to try to determine what fields are under conservation tillage versus full tillage systems. So this is just an image to show how that's done. You can see the conventional radar approach that has horizontal backscattering versus dual polarization radar. And in this study, we use Sentinel-1 imagery that has horizontal and vertical transmission and receiving of data. Sentinel-1's particularly important because I'll show you in a few slides. When I say smallholder farming systems, we have really, really small fields. And it's not uncommon for a field to be the size of this room or just a little bit bigger. And that makes mixed pixelation and identification a really big nightmare in these systems. So this shows you very briefly what the Sentinel satellite can do for us in terms of image acquisition. This is just 1 month of image collection with a 250-kilometer wide swath. So it's sort of revolutionized the data availability for us. And it has a 10-meter resolution as well, so that allows us to do a lot more with the data that's collected. So the study started by taking a bunch of ground control points, approximately 500 for zero tillage and 800 for conventional tillage. And this is in the part where you see the northwest of India and Haryana, Punjab, and these areas. And what you're looking at here is differences in backscattering intensities between vertical-vertical and vertical-horizontal channels from the Sentinel imagery measured for Punjab and Haryana. And it's a little bit hard to see, but what's important to point out is that during the main sowing period, fields that are not under zero tillage have a generally higher backscattering ratio difference, as opposed to the fields that are under zero tillage. So it's possible to identify what's going on. And I'll walk you through the steps that the team that did this to look at this. But this is an image from the Simit Borlaug Institute farm in this area. And if you look at it, it's about a 3.5 square kilometer area, so you can get a sense of just how small many of the fields are. This is just classified for a number of fields in the red with conventional tillage and yellow under zero tillage and conservation agriculture that was done through ground truthing. The team then applied a subsequent segmentation and classification with the radar data, and that's what the segments look like. And if you impose that on top of the conventional and the zero tillage, again in red versus yellow, that's just an example of what some of the imagery looks like. So going back to the same image to start with, this is the vertical-vertical backscatter information, and it gives you information that looks like this. And if you use the vertical-horizontal backscatter, you get relatively similar information. But if you go to the original image and then use the difference between the vertical-vertical and vertical-horizontal, you get this image and generally a better agreement. The mathematics of exactly how that's done, you'd have to ask the team that worked on it, but it was a bit more precise in my understanding. So this shows you a graph, basically, again, of in red you're looking at the conventional tillage fields versus in blue, the zero till or somewhat conservation agriculture oriented fields, represented again as the difference between the vertical-vertical and the vertical-horizontal. And this is from October until January, so it's roughly for wheat, which is the predominant crop at this time of the year. It's roughly the first half of the season. So it looks relatively good. So the next step that the team wanted to do was to try to assess how much land is under conservation agriculture or zero tillage. And again, this is important for practical purposes of reporting how farmers are adopting new technologies or how they are not. The only other way you can go out and do all of this is if you go and do a survey and ask a lot of farmers, and that's time, money, and energy intensive. So there's quite a lot of interest in using remote sensing to try to get these kind of data. So what the team did, they took different stratums in the area and they imposed a separate random forest tree classifier, so they're using machine learning approaches to optimize the field data based on metrics and the ground truth data. They utilized 80% of the available manually delineated fields for training, and then basically were able to develop a calibration sample with this. I'm not going to go into detail of how they cleaned and did additional work, but the classification itself was then used on the optimized tree that resulted from the random forest classification by stratum to classify the corresponding segments in the data set. So it worked relatively well, but it was necessary to impose a correction of bias due to classification error, which I think everybody in this room is familiar with. These are the tricks of the tools of the trade that you have to impose. So there were biases. So the surface estimate per class, which is tillage or zero tillage, was not fully accurate. So they took the output of the accuracy assessment and corrected the surface estimates with a correction factor derived from a confusion matrix that utilizes the equation that you see there. And that was then imposed to the surface estimates as well, simply by multiplying the correction factor by the area under zero tillage and the area under total minus zero tillage. what it looks like when all of it comes out across these three different states in which the study was done is you get a matrix that has hectare-wise derived estimates of zero tillage versus conventional tillage. But what's important to point out is that the overall classification accuracy was 0.88% in comparison to the ground truth data across all of the states, with a range of 0.78 to 0.91. So that's pretty good, actually. And that's done with relatively small ground truth sample sizes, but the team is now implementing the work in this coming wheat season with a larger data set to try to validate this a second time around. What's interesting about the data set is that it comes up with an area under zero tillage. Again, zero tillage, but it may not be always with residue retained, of 1.16 or 1.7 million hectares. And that's slightly larger than the last large-scale survey that was implemented almost 10 years ago by Ehrenstein et al., who's also another CIMMYT colleague, that estimated area under zero tillage. This actually surprised us a little bit because there's been a growth in the use of full-till rotavators as opposed to zero-till equipment in the area. And that's actually because the rotavator, believe it or not, can even be faster and less expensive to establish a crop in a particular field than zero tillage, but is a bit of a worry when it comes to thinking about soil qualities and long-term sustainability. Nonetheless, what this is pointing out is that the area under zero tillage appears to be relatively stable and potentially even increasing, although further work is needed this year to confirm that. That's all, and I can try to answer any of your questions if you have them. I'd have to defer on that to my colleagues, but most likely. CIMMYT was very keen to jump on use of the Sentinel platforms because we work in smallholder farming systems in a number of countries, so we're actually seeing what you're looking at from satellite is always a challenge. And so CIMMYT signed last year an agreement and is a champion user for Sentinel, so we actually can get additional data. I should throw that out, that if anyone is particularly interested in collaborations, we are always very, very keen to work with people, no matter where you are in the world. But how that will pan out in the future, we'll have to see.
Yeah. I was wondering, what would be the challenges of scaling this up to like global estimates of conservation tillage, zero tillage, maybe?
That's a really good question. A bit of background, the only data sets that are, I was actually surprised when this work started because I thought that the government of India would have tried to track this a little bit better. Partially surprisingly and a little bit not, they are not tracking it. The only other statistics that are available that sort of say what's under zero tillage or conservation agriculture are produced by the FAO and reported on a monthly basis. And they're very coarse, and they're very, very strict on what they call conservation agriculture. So it's not necessarily ZT as much as it is this full suite of techniques. I think that this is useful, though, because if you can manage to do it at this size, and if you can manage to get over some of the atmospheric noise that you get in this environment, you're relatively well positioned to apply it to larger scales. And fields don't get an awful lot smaller than the ones that we're looking at. But I could see in some areas that there could be additional challenges that need to be looked at that are location specific. Having said that, probably the biggest constraint for applying this at a bigger scale would be the computing power, which would need to be dealt with. But again, this is an important These are important metrics. It's an important public good to know this, so I should hope that there should be resources that can assist with that.
All right. Unfortunately, we don't have time for more questions.
Thank you.